The Letter of Paul to the Galatians, Chapter 1. From Paul, an apostle sent not by humans, nor by human mediation, but by Christ Jesus and by God the Father, who raised him from the dead. I and all the brothers and sisters who are with me greet the churches in Galatia. May you receive grace and peace from God our Father and from Christ Jesus our Lord. He gave himself for our sins to rescue us from this evil world in fulfillment of the will of God the Father. Glory to him for ever and ever. Amen. There is no other gospel. I am surprised at how quickly you have abandoned God, who called you according to the grace of Christ, and have gone to another gospel. Indeed, there is no other gospel. But some people who are sowing confusion among you want to turn the gospel of Christ upside down. But even if we ourselves were giving you another gospel, different from the one we preach to you, or if it were an angel from heaven, I would say, let God's curse be on him. As I have said, I now say again, if anyone preaches the gospel in a way other than you received it, fire that one. Are we to please humans or obey God? Do you think that I try to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. Paul teaches what he received from God. Let me remind you, brothers and sisters, that the gospel we preach to you is not a human message, nor did I receive it from anyone. I was not taught of it, but it came to me as a revelation from Christ Jesus. You have heard of my previous activity in the Jewish community. I furiously persecuted the Church of God and tried to destroy it. For I was more devoted to the Jewish religion than many fellow Jews of my age. And I defended the traditions of my ancestors more fanatically. But one day, God called me out of his great love. He who had chosen me from my mother's womb, and he was pleased to reveal in me his Son, that I might make him known among the pagan nations. Then I did not seek human advice, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me. I immediately went to Arabia, and from there I returned again to Damascus. Later, after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to meet Cephas, and I stayed with him for 15 days. But I did not see any other apostle except James, the Lord's brother. On writing this to you, I affirm before God that I am not lying. After that, I went to Syria and Cilicia. The churches of Christ in Judea did not know me personally. They had only heard of me. He who once persecuted us is now preaching the faith he tried to uproot, and they praised God because of me. Galatians, Chapter 2. Paul with the Apostles. After 14 years, I again went up to Jerusalem with Barnabas, and Titus came with us. Following a revelation, I went to lay before them the gospel that I am preaching to the pagans. I had a private meeting with the leaders, lest I should be working or have worked in a wrong way. But they did not impose circumcision, not even on Titus, who is Greek, and who was with me. But there were some intruders and false brothers who had gained access to watch over the way we live, the freedom Christ has given us. They would have enslaved us by the law, but we refused to yield even for a moment, so that the truth of the gospel remain intact for you. The others, the more respectable leaders, it does not matter what they were before, God pays no attention to the status of a person, gave me no new instructions. They recognized that I have been entrusted to give the good news to the pagan nations, just as Peter has been entrusted to give it to the Jews. In the same way that God made Peter the apostle of the Jews, he made me the apostle of the pagans. James, Cephas, and John acknowledged the graces God gave me. Those men, who were regarded as the pillars of the church, stretched out their hand to me and Barnabas as a sign of fellowship. We would go to the pagans, and they to the Jews. We should only keep in mind the poor among them. I have taken care to do this. The conflict with Peter. When later Cephas came to Antioch, I confronted him, since he deserved to be blamed. Before some of James's people arrived, he used to eat with non-Jewish people. But when they arrived, he withdrew and did not mingle any more with them for fear of the Jewish group. The rest of the Jews followed him in this pretense, and even Barnabas was part of this insincerity. When I saw that they were not acting in line with the truth of the gospel, I said to Cephas publicly, "If you who are Jewish agree to live like non-Jews, setting aside the Jewish customs, why do you now compel the non-Jews to live like Jews? We are Jews by birth. We are not pagan sinners. Yet we know that a person is justified not by practicing the law, but by faith in Christ Jesus. So we have believed in Christ Jesus that we may receive true righteousness from faith in Christ Jesus, and not from the practices of the law, because no one will be justified by the works of the law. Now, if in our own effort to be justified in Christ, we ourselves have been found to be sinners, then Christ would be at the service of sin. Not so, but look, if we do away with something and then restore it, we admit we did wrong. As for me, the very law brought me to die to the law, that I may live for God. I am crucified with Christ. Do I live? It is no longer me. Christ lives in me. My life in this body is life through faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. In this way, I don't ignore the gift of God, for if justification comes through the practice of the law, Christ would have died for nothing. Galatians chapter 3. We are saved by faith. How foolish you are, Galatians! How could they bewitch you after Jesus Christ has been presented to you as crucified? I shall ask you only this. Did you receive the Spirit by the practice of the law or by believing the message? How can you be such fools? You begin with the Spirit and end up with the flesh. So you have experienced all this in vain. Would that it were not so. Did God give you the Spirit and work miracles among you because of your observance of the law or because you believed in his message? Remember Abraham. He believed God and because of this was held to be a just man. Understand then that those who follow the way of faith are sons and daughters of Abraham. The scriptures foresaw that by way of faith God would give true righteousness to the non-Jewish nations. For God's promise to Abraham was this, "In you shall all the nations be blessed." So now those who take the way of faith receive the same blessing as Abraham who believed. But those who rely on the practice of the law are under a curse, for it is written, "Cursed is everyone who does not always fulfill everything written in the law." It is plainly written that no one becomes righteous in God's way by the law. By faith, the righteous shall live. Yet the law gives no place to faith, for according to it, the one who fulfills the commandments shall have life through them. Now, Christ rescued us from the curse of the law by becoming cursed himself for our sake. As it is written, "There is a curse on everyone who is hanged on a tree." So the blessing granted to Abraham reached the pagan nations in and with Christ. And we received the promised Spirit through faith. The promise, not the law, was the gift of God. Brothers, listen to this comparison. When anyone has made his will in the prescribed form, no one can annul it or add anything to it. Well now, what God promised Abraham was for his descendant. Scripture does not say for the descendants, as if they were many. It means only one. This will be for your descendant, and this is Christ. Now I say this, if God has made a testament in due form, it cannot be annulled by the law which came 430 years later. God's promise cannot be cancelled. But if we now inherit for keeping the law, it is not because of the promise. Yet that promise was God's gift to Abraham. The law was part of God's pedagogy. Why then the law? It was added because of transgressions, but was only valid until the descendant would come to whom the promise had been made. And it was ordained through angels by a mediator. A mediator means that there are parties, and God is one. Does the law then compete with the promises of God? Not at all. Only if we have been given a law capable of raising life could righteousness be the fruit of the law. But the scriptures have declared that we are all prisoners of sin. So the only way to receive God's promise is to believe in Jesus Christ. We are now sons and daughters of God. Before the time of faith had come, the law confined us and kept us in custody until the time in which faith would show up. The law then was serving as a slave to look after us until Christ came, so that we might be justified by faith. With the coming of faith, we are no longer submitted to this guidance. Now, in Christ Jesus, all of you are sons and daughters of God through faith. All of you who were given to Christ through baptism have put on Christ. There is no longer any difference between Jew or Greek, or between slave or freed, or between man and woman. But all of you are one in Christ Jesus. And because you belong to Christ, you are of Abraham's race, and you are to inherit God's promise. Galatians chapter 4. But listen, as long as the heir is a child, he does not differ at all from a slave, although he is the owner of everything. He is subject to those who care for him, and who are entrusted with his affairs, until the time set by his father comes. In the same way, we as children were first subjected to the created forces that govern the world. But when the fullness of time came, God sent his Son. He came, born of woman, and subject to the law, in order to redeem the subjects of the law, that we might receive adoption as children of God. And because you are children, God has sent into your hearts the Spirit of his Son, which cries out, Abba, that is, Father. You yourself are no longer a slave, but a son or daughter, and yours is the inheritance by God's grace. When you did not know God, you served those who are not God's. But now that you have known God, or rather he has known you, how can you turn back to weak and impoverished created things? Do you want to be enslaved again? Will you again observe this and that day, and the new moon, and this period, and that year? I fear I may have wasted my time with you. I still suffer for you. I implore you, dearly beloved, do as I do, just as I became like you. You have not offended me in anything. Remember that it was an illness that first gave me the opportunity to announce the gospel to you. Although my illness was a trial to you, you did not despise or reject me, but received me as an angel of God, as Christ Jesus. Where is this bliss? For I can testify that you would have even plucked out your eyes to give them to me. But now, have I become your enemy for telling you the truth? Those who show consideration to you are not sincere. They want to separate you from me, so that you may show interest in them. Would that you were surrounded with sincere care at all times, and not only from me when I am with you. My children, I still suffer the pains of childbirth until Christ is formed in you. How I wish I could be there with you at this moment and find the right way of talking to you. The comparison of Sarah and Hagar. Tell me, you who desire to submit yourselves to the law, Did you listen to it? It says that Abraham had two sons, one by a slave woman, the other by the free woman, his wife. The son of the slave woman was born in the ordinary way, but the son of the free woman was born in fulfillment of God's promise. Here we have an allegory and the figures of two covenants. The first is the one from Mount Sinai, represented through Hagar. Her children have slavery for their lot. We know that Hagar was from Mount Sinai in Arabia. She stands for the present city of Jerusalem, which is in slavery with her children. But the Jerusalem above, who is our mother, is free. And Scripture says of her, "Rejoice, barren woman without children. Break forth in shouts of joy, you who do not know the pains of childbirth. For many shall be the children of the forsaken mother, more than of the married woman." You, dearly beloved, are children of the promise, like Isaac. But as at that time the child born according to the flesh persecuted Isaac who was born according to the Spirit, so it is now. And what does Scripture say? "Cast out the slave woman and her son, for the son of the slave cannot share the inheritance with the son of the free woman." Brethren, we are not children of the slave woman, but of the free woman. Galatians chapter 5. Christ freed us to make us really free. So remain firm and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery. I, Paul, say this to you. If you receive circumcision, Christ can no longer help you. Once more, I say to whoever receives circumcision, you are now bound to keep the whole law. All you who pretend to become righteous through the observance of the law have separated yourselves from Christ and have fallen away from grace. As for us, through the Spirit and faith, we eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness. In Christ Jesus, it is irrelevant whether we be circumcised or not. What matters is faith working through love. You had begun your race well. Who then hindered you on the way? Why did you stop obeying the truth? This was not in obedience to God who calls you. In fact, a little leaven is affecting the whole of you. I am personally convinced that you will not go astray, but the one who confuses you, whoever he may be, shall receive punishment. I myself, brothers, could I not preach circumcision? Then I would no longer be persecuted. But where would be the scandal of the cross? Would that those who confuse would castrate themselves. True freedom. You, brothers and sisters, were called to enjoy freedom. I'm not speaking of that freedom which gives free rein to the desires of the flesh, but of that which makes you slaves of one another through love. For the whole law is summed up in this sentence: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and tear each other to pieces, be careful lest you all perish. Therefore I say to you, walk according to the Spirit, and do not give way to the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh war against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are opposed to the flesh. both are in conflict with each other, so that you cannot do everything you would like. But when you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. You know what comes from the flesh: fornication, impurity and shamelessness, idol worship and sorcery, hatred, jealousy and violence, anger, ambition, division, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I again say to you what I have already said: those who do these things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is charity, joy and peace, patience, understanding of others, kindness and fidelity, gentleness and self-control. For such things there is no law or punishment. Those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its vices and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us live in a spiritual way. Let us not be conceited. Let there be no rivalry or envy of one another. Galatians chapter 6. Various counsels. Brethren, in the event of someone falling into a sin, you who are spiritual shall set him aright with the spirit of kindness. Take care, for you too may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks he is something, when in fact he is nothing, he deceives himself. Let each one examine his own conduct and boast for himself, if he wants to do so, but not before others. In this, let each one carry his own things. He who receives the teaching of the word ought to share the good things he has with the one who instructs him. Do not be fooled. God cannot be deceived. You reap what you sow. The person who sows for the benefit of his own flesh shall reap corruption and death from the flesh. He who sows in the Spirit shall reap eternal life from the Spirit. Let us do good without being discouraged. In due time, we shall reap the reward of our constancy. So while there is time, let us do good to all, and especially to our family in the faith. I am crucified with Christ. See these large letters I use when I write to you in my own hand. Those who are most anxious to put on a good show in life are trying to persuade you to be circumcised. The only reason they do this is to avoid being persecuted for the cross of Christ. Not for being circumcised do they observe the law. What interests them is the external rite. What a boast for them if they had you circumcised. For me, I do not wish to take pride in anything except in the cross of Christ Jesus our Lord. Through him the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. Let us no longer speak of the circumcised and of non-Jews, but of a new creation. Let those who live according to this rule receive peace and mercy. They are the Israel of God. Let no one trouble me any longer. For my part, I bear in my body the marks of Jesus. May the grace of Christ Jesus our Lord be with your spirit, brothers and sisters. Amen.